May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one whose word we listen to and hear and believe. Amen. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, poor Lazarus who dies and goes to heaven, and the rich man who dies and goes to hell. What about you? Let us pray. Lord, open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts to receive your holy word, to listen to Moses and the prophets, and to the apostles and evangelists of the New Testament, to hear your word in faith with repentance. Grant us all the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you going to die? If the Lord does not return in the next 50 to 100 years, who's going to die? We don't have anyone here who's going to be Elijah and be taken up in the chariot of fire. We have no Enoch here that will just walk and kind of walk on into heaven. Are you going to die? Say yes. Say, I will die. All right, then the gospel is for you. If you don't think you're going to die, you can go ahead and leave. I think you're going to be Elijah or Enoch. You can believe that and you may made a part. You're going to die if the Lord doesn't return. And the gospel lesson, the Lord teaches us that we're going to die. Rich or poor, we will die. And he teaches us what's going to happen when we die. The Lord gives us a little picture here, wonderful little story, some call it a parable, of what happens when a person dies. And he gives us this little picture here, this little story, not just to satisfy our curiosity about death, but to teach us how to live so that we're prepared to die. That's the point. How do you live now so you know what's going to happen when you die? And you go to the right place when you die. Let me say three simple things of what happens at death today, a review of the Lord's teaching here of his story. Three simple things and yet good to go over. What happens when we die? Point number one, at death, there is a real heaven or a real hell that a person goes to. Those are the two options, friends. There's heaven or there's hell, and they are both real places. They're not myths. They're not part of a fairy tale, Christian fairy tales. They're not figments of someone's imagination. Oh, heaven, hell, that's not true. It is true. They are real places where you feel, you touch, you experience, you talk, your conscience. The poor man, Lazarus, he is in heaven comforted. He feels something. And obviously the rich man feels pain and talks in hell. Real places. You'll be there forever, heaven or hell. There are some atheists that don't believe in God. And they believe that when you die, that's just it. It's just over. You're done. Well, they're wrong. They'll find out when they die, I guess. There's heaven or there's a hell. And they're probably going to be in hell. No doubt they'll be out there an atheist. And there are Hindus and other people of religions that believe that when you die, you're going to be reincarnated. You just come back as something else. If you were bad in this life, you come back as a rat or a mouse or something. If you're good, you might come back as a king or queen and have more money. But you get another chance and then another chance, another chance to live life. You're kind of immortal. Nice thought, but they're wrong. When you die, you go to heaven or hell, and that's it. No reincarnation, no second chance. There are some Christians that believe in a purgatory. And they believe there's some kind of holding station there in between heaven and hell. And you die and you might go there and you might be purified in some way. You need to repent of something, learn something over time. And your good people still on earth will pay money to the church to get you out of purgatory. That was Luther's day, right? And you just be there and hopefully you go to heaven sometime, you get out. Well, they're wrong. The Lord speaks nothing here but purgatory where you learn something. It's heaven or it's hell and you're there forever. And then there are many, many people in the world. I find this more and more. Many people in the world, it's a nice thought, that believe everybody is going to heaven. No matter who you are, what you believe, just we're all God's children. We're all going to go to heaven. There is no hell. You know, 90%+ of people in a survey believe there's a heaven. Only about 60-65% believe in a hell. There is a hell. Read the Lord's words. One out of two people in the story go to hell. The rich man goes to hell. Poor Lazarus to heaven. Those folks that believe everybody goes to heaven, doesn't matter if they're wrong. Heaven and hell are real places. You're going to go to one or the other and spend an eternity there and feel and touch and talk whatever's there for you. Where are you going to go? Do you know? Point number two, talking about heaven and hell, what are they like? They're real places. What are they like? At death, there is total relief in heaven, and there's absolutely no relief in hell. So where do you want to go? Notice how hell is depicted to start off. Absolutely no relief. We have the rich man who dies, he's buried, and he goes to hell. And notice he's in torment. He's in anguish. Three times you have the word torment or anguish, torment. And we're told that he's in the flames. He's not just near the flames or around the flames, but he's actually in fire. You can only imagine the pain and agony being in fire for an eternity. And notice, this is the amazing part to me. It stands out. He asks for a little relief, doesn't he? This rich man. Can poor Lazarus come down, just dip his finger in a little water, just touch my tongue? He doesn't ask to get out of hell. He knows he's stuck there forever. He doesn't ask that God create a pond in hell that they can all jump in and get cooled off for a little while. Please, God, give us a pond or like a swimming pool, please. We can be cooled off for a moment. He only asks for a drop of water on his tongue, a moment of relief on one little part of his body, his tongue. And what does Abraham, as instructed by God, say? No. Not even a drop of water on your tongue. There's not one moment of relief, is the lesson here. Hell is a place of no mercy whatsoever. Not even a drop of water on your tongue for a moment of relief. Not that. You've rejected the mercy of God on this earth. You've rejected Jesus. So you'll be rejected in hell forever. It's quite a startling lesson here. I had a confirmation student, this was years ago, who we were talking about heaven and hell in class, and the student asked, kind of, not knowing, and they said, "Pastor, isn't hell going to be kind of a fun place? It'll be a big party because you're there with the devil and all the evil people, and there's no rules, there's no commandment, no God to look over you. We can just do whatever we want." Well, ask the rich man. If hell's a party, where's the devil to help him? Where's anybody to help him? He's all by himself. He has to call on heaven to help him. He finally figures that out. Call on heaven to help you. No party, just pain. And then on top of the physical anguish, there's the mental anguish of knowing that there's a party going on in heaven. The rich man is aware of the party in heaven. He sees Abraham and Lazarus. He's aware of the feast, and he's left out. Talk about regret. Talk about regret. He sees heaven, but he can't get there. The door is locked. He has this great regret. I blew it, and I'm in hell forever. And then, more wonderfully, there's the picture of heaven, obviously. Oh, what a picture of heaven. It's just the opposite, a place of total relief. First of all, poor Lazarus is carried by the angels. Isn't that a great picture? He's licked by dogs on this earth. Now he's carried by angels at death. Pure love and grace of God. God pampers him. He doesn't have to walk into heaven, find his way into heaven, fly into heaven, crawl into heaven. He's carried by the angels. God gives him an escort of angels. Pure grace. You don't do it yourself. It's all the love and grace of God to take you to heaven. He's pampered and served by God. Then he's at Abraham's side. A better translation, he's at Abraham's bosom. He has his head lying on Abraham's stomach is the picture. The picture here is of a feast, of a big feast in heaven. Jesus said that on the last day that people from the north, south, east, west will gather for the heavenly feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now you have poor Lazarus there at the feast, and he's right next to who? To Abraham. He's a nobody on this earth, but he's a somebody in heaven. He sits with the bigwigs. He's honored. He has status. And he's laying his head on Abraham's lap, if you will. You see, when we eat, we sit in a chair and eat. And we eat real quick and go watch TV. The Jews wouldn't eat like that. They would lay on their side and eat. They'd lay down on their side and just take their time and eat. And so when you lay on your side with a bunch of people, you might have your head near their stomach. You recall the Last Supper. when St. John the Apostle was laying his head in the bosom of Jesus. They're lying down. Relax. Take your shoes off. You have no place to go. Feast. Total relief and comfort. He couldn't get a crumb on this earth. Now he's just full of all the gifts that God has. Whatever, the finest of wines, the best of meats, Isaiah says. Notice that poor Lazarus doesn't say anything. He's quiet. Why is he quiet? Why doesn't he say anything? It's kind of hard to talk when your mouth is full. Maybe he's eating, huh? Although I try it. Right? You know, he's chewing, he's eating, feasting. It's also a picture of complete contentment. He's just content, he's happy. No longer does he have to beg, cry out, help me, help me. He has everything that he wants and more. That's heaven. And the Lord, in a simple way, describes hell, no relief, heaven, total relief. He describes these two so that people, where do you want to go? I'm convinced. Where do you want to go? Are you really sure? Maybe, who wants to go to hell? Sure looks like a nice place to be a party, right? He's teaching kindergartners. Here's heaven. Fabulous, wonderful. Here's hell. Where do you want to go? Heaven. And then the next question, point number three now. Next question. How do I get there? I want to go to heaven. How do I get there? And that leads to point number three. At death, what matters is repentance. What matters in the end is repentance, faith, faith in Jesus. Be clear on this. The rich man does not go to hell because he's rich. He doesn't go to hell because he's greedy and selfish and doesn't care about Lazarus. That's not why he goes to hell. We're all like that. We're all greedy and selfish. He goes to hell because he does not repent and confess his sin and cling to Jesus for salvation. He doesn't listen to Moses and the prophets, the word of God, which calls him to recognize his sin and cling to a Savior named Jesus. He's not baptized. He doesn't submit at that time to the baptism of John the Baptist and be baptized, the entrance. That's why he goes to hell. He doesn't believe. He doesn't repent. Doesn't hear the word of God and believe it. And whereby poor Lazarus, he goes to heaven, not because he's so pathetic and poor that God has pity on him and says, I'll just take you into heaven because you're so pathetic on this earth. No. If he didn't repent, he'd be in hell too. He's in heaven because he did listen to the word of God. And he begged not only at the gate of the rich man, he begged at the throne of God for mercy. And he got the full mercy, not in a crumb, but in the person of Jesus, the bread of life. He confessed his sin and believed in Christ. He repented and listened. That's why he's in heaven. Baptism is implied in this story as the entrance to heaven. Notice the rich man does not have a name. Everybody on earth knew this guy's name. He was Bill Gates. He was Tiger Woods. Who didn't know him? Everybody knew his name. But God doesn't know his name because his name's not written in the book of life. He's not baptized. He's just another rich fool that goes to hell. Whereas poor Lazarus, he has a name. Lazarus, it means the one whom God helps. He's named. Nobody knew this guy's name. We have beggars come along here. Do you ever know their name? You ever take time to ask, what's your name? Just leave. We don't know your name. You're nobody to me, right? Sinful as can be. That's how we treat people, though. He has a name, Lazarus, because he's been baptized. And his name is written in heaven. What matters when you die is not the outside, how you look. What matters is the inside. Rich, you can be rich and healthy. That doesn't matter in the end when you die. How rich you are, your purple robes, all your food, all your cars. That doesn't matter how healthy you are. Doesn't matter. Neither does it matter if you're poor and you have ulcers and the dog licks your sores. You have nothing. You beg. The outside doesn't matter. What matters to God is right here. God sees the heart. You have faith and repentance or not. Sure looks like the rich man would go to heaven. He's been blessed by God. God must love him and take him to heaven. Sure looks that way. Looks like the poor beggar, he's going to hell. God must have cursed him. Looks like he's going to hell, but no. The great reversal. The last, first, the first, last. What makes the difference? Faith. Repentance. And last point. God has provided everything on this earth right now that we all repent. We can't blame God. God, do something that I might repent. God has given us everything we need that we believe and repent and be saved. He spared nothing. Not only his own son he gave. The rich man has a bit of compassion. Send Lazarus back to go warn my brothers so they don't go to hell too. If someone rises from the dead, they'll believe in him. What's Abraham say? No. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. God has given what you need to repent, the word of God. And in the New Testament, he's given us beyond Moses and the prophets. He's given us the apostles and the evangelists. He's given us Jesus, who lived and died and rose. Someone did rise from the dead. Actually, Lazarus rose from the dead, didn't he? Think about it. Later in the gospel, Lazarus did rise from the dead as a sign. And I'm sure that Lazarus went around and told people, repent. This man, Christ, Jesus, is the Christ. And Jesus rose from the dead. So God, actually in his grace, meets the request of the rich man. He does raise somebody from the dead too. So we have the death of Christ, the resurrection, sins forgiven, the debt's been paid. We have the Old Testament, New Testament. We got baptism, communion. The grace of God flows. We have the Word of God here all the time. Church, school, Sunday school, campus. It's all over the place. You have no excuse than to repent and believe. You know, people's number one fear in America right now, I read this, is going broke, losing all their money and having nothing. It's a problem with our economy. Maybe you'll lose all your money. You'll never lose mercy in this church. God's mercy ever flows through his word and sacraments. You have no excuse. God's not going to do some extra sign in the sky. He's not going to give you some angelic vision to convince you. You have the word of God. Repent and believe it. You know, I'm not one who reads comics, but I read a little comic strip from Peanuts. We all know Peanuts. That said something to me. Maybe it will to you, maybe not. You have Schroeder playing the piano, and Lucy leans back and she says, arrogant Lucy, I think I have a very cute smile. Then she turns to Schroeder and says, I've never heard you say I have a cute smile, Schroeder. Do you think I have a cute smile? And Schroeder stops playing the piano. He looks her in the eye and he says, oh yes, Lucy, I think you have the cutest smile of anyone since the world began. Lucy is exasperated. She lays back on the piano and she says, even when he says it, he doesn't really say it. What do you mean, Lucy? What are you talking about? He just told you to your face, you have the cutest smile since the world began. And that's not enough? You need something more? We're a lot like Lucy. We always need something more. We always need something more. God gave you his son. His son died. His son died. Yeah, his son died and rose. He's washed you. He feeds you. And you need something more to be convinced to follow him? We're all going to die. It's heaven or hell. Relief or no relief. What matters is repentance. Repent. Repent now. Repent. Say with me. Repent. A little louder. Repent. And be in heaven with Lazarus, Abraham, and all the saints, and your Lord. Repent. Amen. We stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our